Welcome everybody. I am Nando De Sena. I've been working in Italy as a developer and consultant, technical author, and mainly in the field of Delphi and database applications. I've been an interbase user until version 5.6, and then I switched to Firebird and switched many of my projects to Firebird. I work mostly on the Windows platform and on the Super Server version of Firebird. My other Firebird related work is on the FlameRobin open source project. Does anyone here know FlameRobin, by the way? Okay. My spoken English is not so good, so please, if you don't understand something, that's probably my fault, and let me know and I'll repeat and I'll try to better express. This session is about a real world case. Firebird is widely used as an embedded database engine, which means not only the special FB embed build, but also as a full server, as a complete server application deployed together with another application. This is possible because Firebird is lightweight and has a low footprint. I have been doing this sort of thing on Windows for several years. In this session I'm going to tell you how we did solve a few special problems that you encounter when you try to install a Firebird instance on a system which may or may not already have other Firebird and Interbase instances without conflicting with those. So our goal is transparent installation. This session targets Windows developers, particularly Delphi developers, because the code examples are in Delphi, but all the concepts and all the problems and solutions are mostly language independent, can be applied in every language. Do you all know Delphi? Well, no problem at all. Okay. This session also targets developers that need to deploy Firebird together with their applications or application servers. In this case, we have an application server. You should have some knowledge of Delphi and about how the Firebird conf file is structured and how does it work, and setting up Firebird in general. You should have installed Firebird on the Windows platform. This is the outline. I'm going to describe the problem, which is installing an invisible instance of the Firebird server, or a private instance of the Firebird server. This is still the outline. Okay. Now, then I'm going to describe the solution, taking pieces of it from the real-world case we have developed and deployed. Which means setting up an isolated Firebird environment, that is, being able to control a Firebird instance from within our application server. This entails choosing a TCP port, allowing Firebird to locate its home folder and not work on the home folders of other Firebird instances. Installing Firebird as an application but running it as a service. I'll better explain what this means. The advantages of the solution are mostly centralization, because as we see, we will be able to centralize many aspects of the configuration of our application on the server side. Easy upgrades. In the real world case, we have an automatic upgrade system for our application, and this also upgrades Firebird, which is part of it. So we get to choose the version of Firebird we work, regardless of the target computers in which we install it. And we get to choose our server-wide settings, because we have a private FileBird instance and we have a private FileBird conf file. The details about DB connection, backup, restore, health checks, and database application maintenance are all wrapped by our application server. Okay, let's start from the problem. We have the typical shrink wrap client server application. I can't even spell. This is an application developed in Delphi, for client side, and whose server side is the Firebird server. We have additional requirements for this application. We need to provide additional services, one of them being the automatic upgrade. To do that, we need to build some logic into the server side, so an application server comes into play. In our example, we'll call this application server, surprisingly, AS. By the way, we call the application app. Okay, our goal is not to turn the application into a three-tier system. We need to keep it simple for the user, because the application is mostly installed by non-expert users. So the user will not have to install Firebird. The average user will not even have to know that we are using something called Firebird. He just knows that our system is composed by two parts, a server part and a client part, and install those separately. So the user knows AS, not Firebird. This means that AS should in some way embed the Firebird server. Why can't we use the Firebird embedded build to do that? Because we have many concurrent remote clients, and so we need many concurrent remote connections. Well, there might be a way to use FB embed, which would mean re-implementing the Firebird wide protocol on the server side and translating the network requests to Firebird calls and calling FB embed. I have investigated this part, and it's a lot of work, and plus it's the work that has to be maintained with every version of Firebird, because the Firebird API is fixed. It is cast in stone because it is a published API. Not so is the wire protocol. So I decided to go for a rather suboptimal solution, which means spawning the Firebird process from within the AS process. The last requirement we have to meet is no conflicts with any other interbase or Firebird installation on the machine. So we need to choose our own settings, the TCP port, Firebird version, and all that. Okay. Let's start looking at the solution. We resolved to install a copy of Firebird as part of AS, and make this Firebird instance private, as I said. Private means transparent to other installation as much as possible, because it's not possible to make it really transparent. I mean, if you listen on a TCP port, everybody could send requests to this TCP port. Our application AS is provided as a server application, as a service application, sorry. We have made some assumptions. Sorry. we have made some assumptions, partly to keep this example simple and to be able to discuss it in the 50 minutes I have for this presentation, and partly because of the particular nature of the business application that triggered the real-world case. So, the first assumption is that database access is only allowed through addresses, no physical paths. In our example, we would use a single database, which means the applications know the alias name, and the client applications know the alias name and are able to connect to that alias name. Well, as we see, the client applications will not really know the alias name. They will get all the connection information from the server, but I'll get to that in a minute. Another assumption is that we can afford to use the TCP/IP based protocol even with a local client. I know that the local protocol, if you have a local client, is faster than the TCP/IP based protocol. But our solution will simply not work with the local protocol. We need to disable the local protocol to be able to install more than one instance of Firebird on a given machine. So we have no other way than to resort to TCP/IP. Anyway, the TCP/IP based protocol is safer because it's thread safe. You can have multi-threaded client applications, and it's not that much slower. Third assumption, we only target NT-based Windows platforms. In the real world case, we target Win95, Win98 version as well. The difference is that the server application that we will be building is a service application, which only works on NT-based Windows platforms. But we would be able to produce even a server application that is not a service, so we are able to run it on Win9X, assuming we actually want to run a server application on that platform, which I don't suggest usually, unless there is no alternative. Okay, this is a sketch of the solution. We will install a copy of Firebird as part of AS, which means that our application tree has Firebird inside it. This is, let's see if I can. This is the binary direct. I don't know if you can read it. Well, for the first row, this is the binary directory of AS, which has the AS executable and a Firebird subdirectory, in which I have put everything I need from this Firebird installation, which includes the Firebird binaries. Let's see a tree. Firebird binaries, all the Firebird binaries I need. Since I only made the super server version, I haven't deployed the classic version. I could, if I have space constraints, I could take out some of the ancillary binaries, like the command line tools and such. I also needed the international library, because I use an international character set, and some UDFs. These are the standard UDF libraries. In the real world case, we also deploy some additional UDF libraries. Also, now that we have a Delphi-made server program, we might move some of the functionality we used to have on UDFs right into the application server. This is yet to be investigated and decided upon. Okay, so we install a copy of Firebird. We start and stop the Firebird server from our application server. There can be different ways to do that and different moments to do that. who can just start Firebird when AS starts and stop Firebird when AS stops, or start it on demand. Our client application, the first thing that our client application does is connect to the AS server. So that could be a good moment to start the Firebird server. In our example, I have decided to start the Firebird server at service startup. Then we need to make sure our Firebird instance is really private, which means have FB server use a custom value for the Firebird environment variable. As you may know, Firebird looks for its configuration information and generally for its home folder in a series of locations. You can override the home folder by setting up the Firebird environment variable. You just need to make sure you don't do it on a global level. You just do it for this FB server exit process. Otherwise, your installation is not invisible and it's not conflict-free with other Firebird installations. So the value we put in the Firebird environment variable should only have an effect on FB server and our AS server, in case AS is itself a client for the Firebird server. So no registry settings. We don't write anything to the registry. We don't do any service installation because, as I said earlier, we only need the user to know AS client and server parts. So the user will have just one service, and it will be the AS service. And no window handle, which means no local protocol. What does it mean? Firebird enables the local protocol by allocating a window handle to which the Firebird clients send messages to establish the connection protocol. The problem is we cannot have more than one instance with the same window name in the system. So, since we cannot customize the window name and class name that Firebird uses to allocate its window handle, unless we rebuild Firebird, unless we modify the source and rebuild Firebird, our other option is to disable window handle allocation, which is done through the Firebird configuration file. Disabling the window handle also disables the local protocol, and is the officially accepted way to have more than one Firebird instance coexist on the same machine. Then we need, well, it would be good if we made sure that no databases are in use when we shut down Firebird. To do that, we can use the Firebird API, or we can directly use the file system. That means checking if our database file is in use, since it will only ever be used by the Firebird server itself. So if the database file is not in use, we can shut down the Firebird server. I say we need to do this because there is no clean way to shut down a Firebird server which doesn't have a window handle. If the Firebird server allocates the window handle, you just send a WM close message to that window handle, and the Firebird server should act accordingly and shut itself down. Since we don't have a window handle, we can only terminate the process, which is something we can do because we created in the first place. So we have the correct system privilege to terminate the Firebird process. Terminating a process without giving it a chance to clean up after itself is not a very nice thing to do. So we better check that the Firebird server is not doing anything important on our database before we do that. Well, we don't risk data corruption anyway, because because we are using the first write mode, aren't we? But I think that this additional precaution will not harm in any case. Okay. The last feature of the solution is that AS supplies the fiber connection parameters to its clients, which means that our client applications only know how to connect to AS. In this example, AS is a plain TCP server that accepts a few text-based commands, so the client application needs to know the host name or IP address of the machine on which AS is running and the TCP port. In the real-world case, AS is a SOAP-based HTTP server, so the client application knows a URL. But this is not very, very important. The application doesn't know the connection details to Firebird, but it needs to connect to Firebird after it connects to AS. So AS implements a simple command that the application, that the client application will use to get the Firebird connection params, to get the port, the TCP port, the alias name, and possibly also the username and password combination to use. Okay. In developing the solution, we run into a couple of implementation issues. So here I am. There were not major implementation problems. Anyway, I'm going to describe the most relevant ones and the solutions adapted. Okay, the first implementation issue is about choosing a TCP port for a Firebird server. We should avoid the default interbase and Firebird ports for obvious reasons. So we avoid the 3050-3051 combination, and we should also stay away from other well-known port numbers, like port 80, port 8080, and anyway anything under 124. We can hard code a TCP port number, let's say 10,000, or we can have our application select one from a given range or from a given set at installation time. Selecting a port at installation times guarantees that we catch a free port on the user system. And since, as I said before, our client application doesn't need to know the port number on which Firebird will be listening, because it gets from AS, we can choose a port at installation time. AS only needs to know it when it runs. Once we do that, we should patch the copy of FiberConf that we install to add the remote service port directly. Okay, how do we... Oh no, there's another thing. We have found in the field that whatever port number you choose during development, chances are that one or more customers will find they have it taken. So, I have written some code that runs at installation times and select the first TCP port from a given predefined set. The code uses the IND library. That's because the AS server also uses the IND library, but it's not difficult to adapt it to other network libraries or to use WinSock directly. Well, the easiest way that I know to check if a TCP port is free is to try to open a listening socket on that port. If the operation fails, then the port is taken. This doesn't guarantee that the port is reachable from other computers, but we are not into the business of configuring firewalls yet, so the user will have to configure his firewall and open up the ports as required. we can only find a port that's not taken by Interbase or whatever server application on the machine and tell the user that this port needs to be reachable from other machines. Okay, how do we select the port? Here is a piece of code I have written. I've written a smallish class and a testbed application for it. This is basically how do you check if a port is taken. You just try to activate a TID TCP server object on the local address and on the given port and intercept the ID could not bind socket. If you couldn't bind the socket, then the socket is taken by someone else. What does this class do? It calls this code for every port in a given set that is specified at installation time, and returns the first free port number it finds. This is the code that calls the isFreePort method. It is pretty trivial string parsing code. This class is able to interpret, to parse port specification strings, which are in this format. Let's see if I can find. The syntax. I might. Okay. This is the port specification format. Basically, you can pass a single port numbers or ranges of ports. This is an example. The class will find and return the first free port on the set. I have found that in the vast majority of cases, the first port in the list is the one that gets returned. Well, actually, that depends on how you choose the port numbers. So the rest of the code in the port finder class is just string parsing code to parse that particular syntax. Not very interesting in our case. Anyway, the code and the text will be supplied on the conference CD for you to look at. Just one thing, since I have the testbed application, I might as well run it. This is a port number specification. I have intentionally started with 3050, which is most probably taken by Firebird on my machine, unless Firebird has gone down. Yeah. Since Port Finder is trying to open sockets on listening, the Windows firewall kicks in every time I recompile Port Finder. By the way, Port Finder test. Okay, it is found 3051, which is not taken on my system. You could compile this code into a DLL and have it executed by your favorite installation script. I developed my installation script with InnoSetup, excellent free product from Jordan Russell, which has provisions to call external DLLs at installation time. So that would get the job done. So now that we have a TCP port, we should patch the installed copy of fiber.conf, setting remote service port. To do that, I have written another very simple class, and a testbed application as well, which is tfbconf. Tfbconf just encapsulates a fiber configuration file and allows you to read and write settings. Fiber configuration files, as you certainly know, is much like an initialization file, an ini file, but not quite. It doesn't have sections, and it tends to have spaces around the equal sign in the settings. This is in our case what the Firebird configuration file looks. This is a trimmed Firebird configuration file. This only contains our own settings. We don't need to specify anything else. And this trivial class allows to get inside the settings. This can be used from the installation file as well as the TCP port finder. So you are able to read the values and to modify them. Let's put the old value back in. Again, the code in this class is pretty straightforward and is not very interesting for this session. It's string parsing and file input output. And loops. Okay, and the only relevant part is that you need to handle comments. In the Firebird configuration files, you comment a line by prepending a pound sign. So when you write back, you should first check for a commented settings and uncommented, just for cleanness. Okay, so we have a TCP port. We have chosen a TCP port. We have set up. We have patched our fiber.conf file. Now we need to set up a private fiber home directory. Okay, our private instance should point to a certain home folder, which is the folder I have shown before. This one. So we need to set the fiber environment variable accordingly. When you launch an external application from AS, in this case, this is the AS service application. I'll go over it in a minute. Now I want to show you the particular piece of code that is in charge of starting the fiber server. Okay, when you start an external application, you usually call create process. But this code is a bit more complicated than a simple create process code, because we need to cater for a particular case. Anyway, let's ignore for the time being this part and concentrate on this one part. Actually, you don't need to do anything special, because any process started will inherit your environment block. An application's environment block in Windows is basically the set of environment variables. This is the set of environment variables of this instance of the CMD application, for example. So if you set an environment variable before starting a process with create process, it will inherit the variable value. You could reset the fiber variable after starting the process if you want your setting to only have effect on the startup process and not on the starting process. But we need the fiber variable to be set even in AS. So I haven't added the code that sets the fiber variable back to the previous value. As you might have spotted, I'm not using create process to run the application, but I'm using run application. What is run application? It's just a wrapper for create process. The one thing I need from this function is to retain and return the process handle. The process handle is what I am going to use to stop the fiber process later. To retain the process handle, you just read this field of the structure that's returned by create process. By the way, after you call create process, you usually need to close the handles. Create process will open two handles, a process handle and a thread handle for the main thread of the process. In this case, I only close the thread handle. That's because I need the process handle. I must remember to close the process handle when I later terminate fiber, because otherwise the fiber process will not be terminated, because a process in Windows is only terminated once all handles to it are closed. That is, once all handles to it are passed to close handle. So, back to the AS application. The AS application in the example is just a plain Windows service made with the Delphi Wizards, which means it is a service application with a service module inside it. A service module, for those of you who didn't use one before, is much like a data module, something in which you can put components and custom code. Our server application is a TCP server. I have used in the TCP server component, and have implemented a few simple comments. You might not see the text in the object inspector. Well, yes, I might perhaps enlarge it a bit. That's better. Well, it doesn't look better, but looks bigger at least. What did I say? Oh, in this example, I am hard coding a default port. In the real world case, the process, the method in which we choose the TCP port is exactly the same we use for the fiber port. We use the same method to choose a TCP port, listening TCP port for the application server. Then I have a few simple comments. One is the about comment, which will just reply AS service demo 1.0. The other one is the quit comment, which will cause the server to reply goodbye and close the connection. And the other one is getDB connection params, which we'll get to in a minute. Okay, the structure of the service application is that of an object that needs to handle a few events. As you know, a Windows service can be started, stopped, paused, and continued. So we want to handle these event handlers. Particularly on startup, our server will start the fabric server and raise an exception if it can't start it for some reason. TCP IP port is taken, or fiber is not there because the user tampered with the installation folder, or not enough memory, or whatever. It raises an exception. Raising an exception on the service start event handler causes the service to not start and an error to be logged to the application event log in the system event log, which is here. Event viewer. I'm trying to translate in real time from Italian, although you should recognize the icons. This is the application event log. By the way, I have some sample errors. Well, the error text is rather verbose. I mean, this is my exception message. This is headed by the system. There is a way to have nicer error messages. The system has all this information just to let me know that I haven't registered a DLL with the message translations. So if you just raise an exception, you get the exception message at the end of all this stuff. Could not bind socket, address and port are already in use in this case. And the server refuses to start. Okay, startFiber is a method of yet another simple class which I've called the Fiber Controller. The server application has got an instance of this class which has start and stop methods. The startFiber method is just what I showed before. The additional part of it is that we need to cater for the case in which the fiber server just dies, in which AS just dies or gets terminated, and for some reason it cannot stop the fiber server. So when you start again AS, you should find that an instance of fiber is already running, an instance of our fiber. We should ignore instances of other fiber installations in the machine. It's already running. You can do that with this fine function from the JCI, which is get PID from process name. So you get the ID of a process if a process of this name is running in the system. Once you have the ID, you can open it, get the process terminate privilege, and you get the process handle back, just like we did with the create process. With create process you get a process handle which has the terminate privilege set, because if you create a process you automatically have the privilege to terminate it. If the process is really running, we need to acquire the correct privilege by calling open process, which will give us the process handle we need. So we have this is a safety measure, basically. Another safety measure, which I'm not going to show because time is scarce, is having AS act as a guardian that is periodically checking if the fabric server is still active, and if not, act appropriately in restarting it or logging an error message or whatever. This can be done with a separate thread that periodically uses code like this. Okay, fiber home, start fiber. late. Why? TCP port. Okay, we set the fiber environment variable. We put suitable fiber.conf and aliases.conf files in the chosen folder. I've said that we only access the databases through an alias. Through an alias name. Yes. This is our aliases.conf. ASDB is the alias name. And this is the complete file name of the database, which resides in the data folder inside the AS folder. Then, what do we have? Setting up fiber.conf. I have shown fiber.conf with four settings. These are more or less needed for our solution. You need to set database access to none to only allow access through an alias name. This is the setting that prevents anyone from using physical paths. So since AS itself manages aliases.conf, we can restrict our fiber instance to our databases or databases only. Then you need to set UDF access to restrict and set the path in which you have installed our UDFs to avoid getting other UDF libraries from other folders in the system by mistake, to prevent users from using declare function and installing custom UDFs in our database. Then we might need to set the full DB cache pages to a suitable value. The default value, I think it is, well, I can't remember what it is, but I think it is something like 75 pages, which is ridiculously small for machines we use nowadays. So I tend to set several thousand pages for each database. We can set this in the fiber.conf file, because this will be used for new databases in case we create new databases. Otherwise, we can set it in directly in the database header page through GFX. Okay, then we have create internal window set to 0. This disallows the internal window handle allocation and the local protocol, and allows multiple fiber instances on the machine. And other settings as required. We could enable external file access. We could use old parameter ordering in case our application suffers from using the new parameter ordering scheme of Fiber 1.5, and so on. So starting and stopping Fiber. We have seen how we make sure that AS only works with its private Fiber instance. I have said that the Fiber API doesn't expose a way to clearly shut down the program down, so we resort to terminate process, which is rather ugly call, but we haven't any alternative now. Using terminate process can be a weak spot, but we can take measures against possible data corruption problems. Not yet. This is the measure we take. Okay, I've said that to check if the database is in use, we can use the Fiber API or directly query the file system. In this case, I have chosen to query the file system, and this is the simple function I am using. This function returns true if the file is in use, but if the file cannot be opened in write mode. If you can't open a file in write mode, it might be that the file is in use, but it might also be that you don't have privilege to write to the file. So we could make this function more intelligent intelligent to also check for privilege. In our case, this doesn't matter because I am sure that AS has the privilege to write to that folder. So I kept the simple version. Otherwise, we need to avoid the TFS screen and go directly to the Windows API and catch a different return value. TFS screen only uses the EF open error exception for every error condition. In case we need to discriminate between different error conditions, we should go a level. We should go more to the to the lower level. Okay. By the way, the AS service checks for calls that function this way. It gets the path that corresponds to the ASDB alias name and passes that path to his file in use. This is an example of use of the fbconf class that I have illustrated before. The fbconf class can be used to access both file.conf and aliases.conf because the format is the same. The final feature that I want to show is an example of how to use AS to make additional services available to its clients. Once we have the basic infrastructure in place, we can have new service. One of these new services is the getDB connection params command. The server will accept, again, in the real world case, this would be a SOAP-based request, not a simple text-based command. Anyway, the server will accept the getDB connection params command and reply accordingly with this information. It gives the file connection string and possibly the username and password the client application should use from then on to connect to the Firebird server. How does the server connects the Firebird computes the Firebird connection string? Well, it does this. It uses again the tfbconf class to access the Firebird.conf and read the remote service port. The Firebird connection string is then the computer name / port colon alias name, which in our case is fixed. Get local computer name is again a function of the JCL, which is just a wrapper on the get computer name Windows API function. This is it. It's just that I didn't want to tamper with PCHAR and stuff, allocating buffers and all the boring stuff. Okay, let's see if we can start the server. Just to see that it actually works. AS service. No, it doesn't work because I have moved it to a different folder, so I need to install and uninstall it. No problem. I need to uninstall and reinstall it. Uninstalling a service in Delphi is done by passing / uninstall on its command line, and guess what you have to do to install it back. Okay, service installed successfully, it should start now. At least we hope so. Okay, now we have the service listening on port 10,000, and we can telnet to it. I don't have the client application here, and then I'm running out of time already. Okay. all service welcomes, it accepts the about common and the get db connection params command, which it replies with nandoasis, which is the name of my machine. This is the port that is stored in Fiber's configuration file, the port Fiber is currently listening on, and this is the alias name. Okay, quit. Bye bye. What else? Centralizing client connections. Well, there are possible extensions we could include into AS basic task scheduler for example backup or restore. AS could periodically check if the database is in use and do scheduled backup and restore of database. To do that, AS needs to be itself a client of the Fiber of its Fiber server, which is not a problem. It just needs to load the FB client library from its Fiber bin folder. So database validation, health check, various kinds of application specific database maintenance like computer subtotals, etc. can be done by AS once we have it in place. Transparent upgrade of the Fiber server, I've mentioned it before. We upgrade AS to a newer version, or we might decide to upgrade Fiber as well as part of AS. This allows the user to use our application with exactly the Fiber version we need to use, and install other versions of Fiber if he so desires for other applications. Okay, another possible extension, AS could allow its client to download an updated Fiber client library. That is, the client could ask AS for the FB client library and download it through the connection with AS before connecting to Fiber, so it is always updated. Well, this is it. Thanks to Fiber flexibility and small footprint, we are able to embed a powerful enterprise class database engine into our application server, which is amazing. By leveraging a few techniques, we can make our Fiber instance almost completely isolated, as we have seen, and no conflicts. We don't have conflicts with other Fiber and interbase instances. No conflicts is a precise requirement in our case, because this means much less installation and support issues, which means much less support calls. I have worked with, as I've said in the beginning, I have worked with Interbase 5.6, and we had a lot of support calls because of conflicts when people installed Interbase 6, which at the time was free, installed Interbase 6 on our machine, and our application stopped to work. And the other advantage is easy upgrade, because we upgrade the Fiber servers part of our application. And all this without having to pay deployment royalties. Now do that with another enterprise class database if you can. So we're running out of time. Are there any questions?
Because in my situation, I have many customers, many small businesses, so I have to deploy very often. So for me, it would be ideal to actually follow this thing. Do you have any other problems that occur through this, or it sounds really great?
Well, not really. I can say that we are having problems with firewalls and proxy servers, but this is just because people usually have them installed in their networks and don't know how to configure them or cannot be bothered to configure them. So these are the problems we are having lately.
We're having them too, because this would actually, our rollout now takes about an hour or two, because you need to copy manually the security and all the things.
Yeah,
by the way,
I haven't mentioned, but security FDD is another piece that you could install and customize. So you can have your own users and not conflict with other fiber installations in the machine. No, really, no big problems. We actually have solved many support problems with this installation, and we are going to replace the version of our application that's based on Interbase 5.6, which is deployed in some 10,000 sites throughout Italy, and we are now much confident that we'll be able to complete the replacement very soon.
Yeah, because for me, I could just create one XE and just say drop it there, launch it, and the rest of it.
Yeah, exactly.
By itself, so it would be
this is exactly the point. So, other questions? Well, thank you for coming. I'll see you around.